United Nations Radio has the pleasure to talk to Ms. Amira Haq. She is the Undersecretary General for the Department of Field Support and was head of UNMIT in Timor-Leste. Ms. Haq, welcome to UN Radio in Portuguese, and thank you for having us.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
I would like to start asking about the mission Timor-Leste. As the mission draws to a close, what are your most treasured memories of that time there in Timor?
Well, I have many treasured memories, but I think what I take most from Timor-Leste is really, you know, the very recent birth of a young nation after many years of struggle. After many years of trying to garner international attention to that course, but achieving what they did in the referendum, and then establishing themselves as a sovereign nation. And what I really take from all the people that I knew there who struggled for this was the tremendous commitment, national commitment that they had to really make sure that, you know, their fighting and their struggle was not for naught, and that, you know, they wanted to establish themselves in the community of nations. They wanted to establish themselves amongst the region. But most importantly, I think they wanted to give their people the benefits of you know, a future, you know, for the next generation. So to see all these you know, young and nascent institutions being built up, to see the commitment of the leaders to success, you know, to see the way they interacted with their people. And that I found really quite remarkable, given other countries that I have served in terms of the rapport, open door, you know, the way they blended in and talked with communities and talked with, you know, the average person, and, you know, whether it was the president or the prime minister, you know, taking part in the cleanup of the beaches and the ditches on the road. And this genuine commitment is really something that I will always treasure. And, you know, the drive and the perseverance to make things good. And as I said, to make sure that, you know, there was a reason for the independence, and it was, you know, for the well-being and the identity of the Timorese. And that was something that I'll always carry with me.
And Timor-Leste has been described as a successful story. And you just gave us an idea how the Timorese contribute to it. But do you have any specific moments where you saw that happening, for instance, during your interaction with the Timorese on the streets?
Yeah. You know, people who were there, I wasn't there at the time of the independence, but, you know, people who were there would always, and, you know, in many conversations, you know, they would always tell me, oh, you know, this was all burnt. We had nowhere to live. The first UN mission, I think that when people were living on a boat that had come and that was docked there, even during the 3 years that I was there, I would see beaches increasingly filled with Timorese families, you know, just all frolicking, having a great time on the water. I would see all these shops that were set up in the evenings. You know, you'd see smiles on people's faces. You know, you see the construction, you know, the setting up of, you know, even small businesses. But I think what people talked about was just a smile on people's faces. And, you know, the fact that people felt safe and secure, that they were going out later at night, that, you know, restaurants and other establishments could you know, take, you know, open up at that point. But at another level, I saw also the capacity of people in the different departments. And I would see young people who had returned from training, you know, who were in the different government ministries. You know, I saw many doctors returning and going out into the districts and sub-district level and the SUCO level. So, you know, you saw all those signs. And it was that, I think, that sort of solid foundations that were being built to make sure that, you know, the country had that capacity, but that it was also attracting, you know, investment, both domestic and, you know, the smaller foreign investment that has come in up to now. And so I think these were all signs of, you know, that are leading to the success, you know, the right legal framework in place, parliamentarians taking their work seriously, debating on the ramifications of different legislation that was before them. I think understanding the responsibility that they had. And, I think, as I had said earlier, the commitment of the leadership. So, all of this contributed very well. And, of course, there was a role. I was part of the UN. There was a role that the UN and other international organizations played. And we were just really, very happy to be walking alongside with the national authorities in their pursuit of peace and development.
Ms. Haq, now moving to peacekeeping more generally speaking, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said that he would like to see more cooperation among the peacekeeping missions. Have been to several missions yourself. How could this cooperation happen on a daily basis, according to your opinion?
Well, there are many elements of intermission cooperation. I mean, it happens in many different ways. It can happen, for example, in terms of personnel. When I was in Timor, the mission in Sudan, in Khartoum, was closing. We lent some of our personnel to go to Sudan and to help with what's called liquidation. Just as I arrived East Timor, the earthquake in Haiti, the tragic earthquake happened. We sent 34 people from our mission to Haiti to respond to that crisis. So that's on a personnel basis. I just came from a visit from Abyei. And there I saw containers lined up that had come from UNAMID in Darfur. With all the prefab construction material and everything else, because they had, the surplus equipment and some of the things that they weren't using, which we're able to send to a new mission in Abyei that is starting, and, you need to jumpstart things quickly, and so you move the equipment from one place to another. But there are other kinds of cooperation, like troop rotations, where you suddenly need troops in one country due to some emergency, and we've been able to use that recently in Syria to set up the mission in Syria and to have the military liaison observers. We were able to get, with agreements of contributing countries, but we were able to get observers from the nearby missions in Lebanon and other places to come to Syria. And in the Department of Field Support, we have this a new program that is ongoing. It's already in its third year of operation, called the Global Field Support Strategy. And the fundamental premise behind that is shared services make for better economies and better efficiencies. So all these are different facets of intermission cooperation. It allows us to be responsive. It allows us to respond to emergencies. It allows us to make use of equipment and resources that are not there at another mission, and they can lend support to one mission. And we hope to see that, this will continue, mindful that it should not impact negatively the mission that is giving these resources. So, for example, in Timor, when we sent, the 34 people to Haiti for an emergency, we also had to make sure that, our mandate implementation in Timor-Leste at that time was not impacted by this. So, we have to be very clear that the Security Council gives each country the mandate. Every country must have the resources to be able to do that. But on the other hand, they do have the ability to enter into intermission cooperation to move the entire global peacekeeping effort.
Thank you very much, Undersecretary General Amira Haq, for your interview. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just that I think we're at the end of 1 year, and I think there have been many different events, but as we started out with Timor-Leste, I think the great success is that the flag will come down in Timor-Leste, and that I wish the people of Timor-Leste all the good wishes for a bright and prosperous and peaceful future.
Thank you very much.
Great.